Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Good to have you with us, everybody. Appreciate you tuning in. An increasing number of people are connecting to the broadcast via the internet. They found out how easy it is if they're saying, okay, if I'm going to listen to you live, I want to listen to you while I can be tuned in and dialed in through the internet, through the speakers, and my headphone set. So we've got companies, again, who dial in and make this part of their regular sales meetings. So many people are off for this week because of the Christmas holidays, so we should start off by wishing everybody a very, very Merry Christmas. I hope that you are ready and feel that this is one of the best Christmases ever. I want to talk about a lump of coal and also a nice gift. Ed DeMarco gave us a lump of coal on Friday, and Mel Watts, the incoming FHFA, gave us a nice, pleasant surprise gift, early Christmas gift, if you could call that, racing the coal. So talk about that here in just a minute. So anyway, welcome to the broadcast. It's David Lincoln, host of Lincoln on Lending, and we created this to be a give back to the industry. We've been in the industry, and many of us have been in the industry, in my case, 40 years, and it's a way of saying thank you to all of you to the industry that's been so good to me and many of us who've been in the industry for a long, long time. Some of us, we don't really want to talk how long it's been, but it has been a long time. So we say very appreciative of the audience that we have. I also want to say a special thank you to Mortgage Professional America. The magazine, placed me on their inaugural Hot 100 list for America, and it's a real honor, and it came as a bit of surprise. They called me and let me know that was, so I want to say thank you to Mortgage Professional America.
Well, hey, Dave, I don't want to comment on how hot you are, but I do know that you're connected, and it's much so that wasn't it National Mortgage Professional that made you the top, named you as one of the top 25 most connected individuals in mortgage lending?
Yeah, I never
that's
thought
my recollection, isn't that right?
That's correct, Eddie, and I want to say a special thank you to them, too. That's very nice you would think of them. But, you know, it's an honor to be mentioned in these lists, and it's really a testimony to the success of the radio broadcast. And I think we're going to get into the hot topic segment is giving back to an industry. When you give, and this is the season of giving, isn't that Christmas? And when you give, it will come back to you. And I'm very fortunate to be honored in this latest list by Mortgage Professional America, and Andy, as you point out, being also named in the National Mortgage Professional list of 25 most connected people in America. So it's a real honor to be connected through this broadcast to so many, and say a big thank you to everybody.
Well, Dave, you may be in the top 100 on one list and top 25 on the other, but you're number one on my list.
Thank you so much. I'm starting to blush a little bit. So anyway, thank you. I really appreciate it. Well, we appreciate many making this broadcast number one on their list. We've got tens of thousands of mortgage professionals who each week make this broadcast their way of staying on top of everything going on in the industry. And dear God, there is a lot going on in our industry. I want to say a special thank you to Knight Guarantee, who offers QM-compliant options to the industry. Unite Guarantees Quality, by the way, they're a sponsor of the radio broadcast. We're so grateful for them to be part of it. Wish Merry Christmas to all the folks there at Unite Guarantee. Qualified Mortgage Insurance, or QMI, products that UG offers provide traditional benefits of mortgage insurance, fast processing and closing with, here's the key point, cancelability. They can cancel it. These options also allow lenders maximum flexibility in complying with 3% fee cap for QM-compliant loans. With United Guarantee's post-pay monthly premium option, the MI premium is collected after closing, so none of the MI premium applies to the 3% cap on points and fees that lenders must comply with beginning January 10th. Jalice is going to be talking about all that's coming on January 10th in just a minute. But United Guarantee also offers Smart Singles. Now, that's not talking about another dating website. We're talking about Smart Singles. This is their new refundable single premium, which with prices that are near or below other MI prices. The 3% cap exempts all private MI premium fees less than or equal to upfront amount charged by FHA. With Smart Singles, this exemption is all usually met. Also refundable, so I pro rata basis if the loan is paid off early or if it's refinanced in the first 5 years. Finally, the lender paid MI premiums are paid by the lender and therefore not a part of the 3% fee cap. A special thank you goes out to them. For more details on all of this, go to www.ugcorp.com or go to our website, Mortgage Bank, I mean, our website, the radio website. You always go to our mortgage banking website. But go to Lincoln on Lending website, look for their ad in the upper right-hand corner, click on it. So we want to say thank you and congratulations to United Guarantee for being number one a sponsor. Thank you. Congratulations for celebrating 50 years of excellent service to our industry. Joe Farr, man, there's so much to talk about as it relates to, you know, talk about the lump of coal and the nice gift. On Friday, we get the lump of coal, and we could talk about it in your segment, or we could talk about it in Alice's. But, man, oh, man, a lot is going on as it relates to, you know, what's happening with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. But let's start off by a market update, if you wouldn't mind sharing with you, with
sure.
us. Here's what's going on today.
Not much today. It's really been quiet today, and prices are pretty much where they ended the day on Friday, and so not any real big news either. CPI, core PCE was released today, and it came in just about the same as what was expected. It's only 1.1% higher for the year. And then consumer sentiment came in. You know, that's a two-tier release, and its first estimate was 82.5, and its final estimate is also 82.5, so not a big surprise there. So nice to see stocks are continuing to improve. They're up, Dow's up 80, and they're up over 16,300.
Oh, wow. Well, let's talk about last week, because certainly there was it was a big week for news.
Huge week, obviously, with the Fed statement and the press conference following it. No surprise, or not news to anyone by now, that the Fed announced the $10 billion per month reduction in their purchases, $5 billion each for Treasury and MBS. And surprisingly, there was very little reaction in the MBS market to the news. There was a little volatility immediately after the announcement. They dropped and recovered, and then they fell again a little bit after the press conference. But Dave, on the week, there was just only a 1/32nd drop in prices. So it was anticipated either at this meeting or the next, and I guess people just decided that the difference didn't matter a whole lot. And so on the MBS side of things, the market just kind of absorbed it. Surprisingly, on the stock market side of things, the Dow gained over 300 points. On the announcement, it's up over 400 points on the week since the announcement, given what we've added today. And what the stock market seemed to like so much about the Fed statement was that, well, number one, the taper was on the smaller end as opposed to being a bigger one. The future expectations are going to be data dependent, so it's not on a preset course. They're expected to have the asset purchase program wound down by the end of the year, and you'll remember that when they were first talking about this, they were talking about doing it much quicker than that. So,
right,
a little bit of an extension to the taper, and then they announced they would keep the Fed funds rate low longer than what people had expected. You know, they put out a 6.5% unemployment.
Target.
And they're now even saying that they're likely to keep rates low even after they've hit that target. So, again, the Dow rose 300 points on the announcement and has continued to go up.
Well, your thoughts on keeping the rates low? I mean, there's still economic data that we still see upward pressure on our mortgage rates. Do you anticipate that kind of leveling off and staying in this trading range or in this price range?
Well, fortunately, we're going to get back to data and inflationary.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as announced earlier, the core PCE is at 1.1% annual inflation. One of the economic announcements that came out last week was CPI, and core CPI was 1.7% annual rate of inflation. So currently inflation is not an issue. And the nice thing about getting beyond this, will they or will they won't taper, and what are they going to do in the future and all that, when I talk about keeping rates low, they're talking about Fed funds rates and short-term rates. And those are
that's
much more impacting. That's impacting corporate borrowings, consumer borrowings, not so much mortgages. Granted, to the extent that those stay low, mortgages can stay lower than they might be otherwise. But it's really stimulative of the economy and the growth. And so mortgage markets are going to get back to watching the natural events. And again, that's going to be growth indications and that impact on inflation.
Interesting. Yeah. It's going to be fascinating to look at all of this. And so the bottom line of it is this is going to be just one interesting week we've got coming up, as well as interesting new year as we get back to just dealing with the facts. I want to get your thoughts on, you comment and track economic, what's moving the markets, but I do want to get your thoughts on the announcement that came out as outgoing Ed DeMarco, FHA director, leaving with the announcement that they're going to be putting in LLPs, the loan level price adjustments, and which is just – that was just a lump of coal in everyone's stocking.
And it seemed odd that he'd do that. It seemed odd that he'd do that as his swan song. You know, he knows he's out. He knows the new guy's coming in. It was curious to me if he and Mel Watt had a conversation going into it, and it was kind of like, well, do what you need to do because – you know, it needs to happen in the marketplace. Apparently they didn't, and apparently Mel and my guess is the realtors and probably the MBA and the other trade associations have indicated to Mel Watt how much of a slowdown this could have on the housing recovery and home purchases. And so, it really is taking anywhere from, a direct 10 basis point increase pretty much across the board on conventional loans, plus whatever increase was going to happen from loan level price adjusters. And on average, that probably could have added another 20, 25 basis points in rate, more than that in some loans. So it really is reducing March's rates, and those rates were going to begin to be applied in January as people were taking locks that were going to, be delivered after those March 1st, April 1st deadlines. So it's taken a quarter of a point rate out of the market, off of mortgage rates, and that's a very good thing. It'll be curious to see if in his reconsideration, or in his study, if he agrees that it needs to be done or not. But my guess is he will not.
Well, we got Paul Mahler who's going to give us an update. I see in the IMF News website he wrote on it, so we're going to get his thoughts about it here as soon as we get back after the ad break. But I was emailing David Stevens on Saturday night as Mel Watts was, making announcement. He says, I'm working on this, guys, and he was emailing myself, Rob Crispin and Diana Orlick, and we're wanting to go, how do I handle this as I was preparing for the broadcast? And as Rob Crispin's getting a lot of questions from his readers about this, and so a lot of people are saying, how do we respond to this? And I mean, is it all three of the items, or is it just LLPAs, or what is it? And so we got the word that it's all three. It is loan level price adjustments, it is the G fee, and it's also the adverse market fee in there. So,
By doing that, Dave, aren't they saying that the adverse market fee is going to stay?
Well, because
it was being reduced.
Yeah, well, let's see if Paul gets us and I can shed light on it. So I know he's listening in and on hold, ready to go into us. So we'll see if Paul can shed any light on it. But let's finish up the information here. But a big thank you to David Stevens for keeping us up and including us now, getting the word out to everybody. So the good news and the bottom line of that, folks, is the Mel Watt, the incoming director of FHFA, delayed the LLP fee hike, and so it's pretty significant. So, anyway,
right.
Any other comments, Joe? I know that we've got the markets are closed tomorrow, or early, closing early tomorrow.
Closing early tomorrow, and they're certainly closed on Christmas. Very little data coming out this week. Durable orders and new home sales come out tomorrow. Jobless claims comes out on Thursday. It's the only thing after Christmas. So it should be a quiet week. And going back to your being put on those lists, Dave, I want to say congratulations myself, and I'm not even being considered for a bonus at Mortgage Banking Solutions.
Well, thanks for whoever nominated me. Thank you. Well, we're appreciative of you being this part of it, because anyone that names me is really, it's because of this radio broadcast, Joe, and you're such a big part of it, as well as Alice and Andy, the Prophet Doctor. So I just say thank you so much. Appreciate you being a part of it. Merry Christmas, and hope you're staying home. Or are you home for the holidays?
Staying home. Yeah. Got family coming over.
Well, we appreciate you being a part of the broadcast each and every week, bringing us these important updates. Folks, we're going to be back with Paul Mahler right after the break, talking about this and all the other news that's on the IMF website. But to learn more about MBS QuoteLine, stay tuned and listen to this message.
Economic uncertainty has created a tremendous amount of market volatility over the past few weeks. Intraday price changes seem the rule rather than the exception. Have you been surprised by a midday price change? Have you been frustrated as you locked a loan just ahead of a price movement? Found it difficult to explain to a customer why the rate you quoted is no longer available? MBS QuoteLine can eliminate these frustrations. MBS QuoteLine monitors Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae mortgage-backed security prices in real time. It makes the information conveniently available on your desktop, smartphone, or by email or text message. These are the same prices used to set mortgage rates each morning and to issue midday price changes when significant movement occurs. With MBS QuoteLine, you'll never be out of touch with the market, whether you're in the office or on the road. See for yourself what MBS QuoteLine can do for you. Go to MBSQuoteLine.com to start a risk-free two-week trial. MBSQuoteLine.com. 646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
Good to have you with us, and we have on the line Paul Mahler. He is busy with the Christmas preparation. I'm sure he's there at his working away as this is a short week for him. But Paul, good to have you on the phone, and we're
thanks for having me, David.
It's always a pleasure, Paul. You're such a good friend, and we do appreciate you and your contribution for all these years to the industry, bringing us up to date and really some great news. And many know this already, but you joined this year. I am Inside Mortgage Finance, and you have started a blog. It's called www.imfnews.com. And you and some of your friends there write some great, compelling stuff, and I'm really interested in what you wrote about it's all on the website here. Also, Charles's article, but quoting Watt. So get into it. Give us an update what you got on the website today.
Well, before I do, I'd like to also mention I didn't get my bonus from Mortgage Banking Solutions either this year. So you have more than one guest who's waiting for his Christmas card. I'm just kidding. All right, enough joking around. Let's move into the news. I was out Thursday, Friday. Charles wrote that. I know it broke in some of the other wires late Friday night. The news is this, and your previous guest, I forget his name. My brain is damaged.
Joe Farr.
I'm so sorry, and I know Joe. That's what happens when you hit 50. Anyway, he is right. It's all three are off the table for now. That's the LLPA, the G fees, and the adverse impact. And, of course, the adverse impact is interesting because that, in a way, was a cut in the G fee, except for the four states that had the high foreclosure costs and timelines and all that. So no changes for now. I mean, Watt's basically saying, you know, he's going to review this thing. He's not saying he's going to kill him entirely, but, you know, from what I understand there, he wasn't all too thrilled that these changes came about. By DeMarco.
Yeah.
You know, I think from what I understand, he was hoping DeMarco would have put this on hold because it looked like he was a sure thing after a while, especially when the Senate changed its rules on voting for nominees. But the way things stand now, everything's on hold. That's LLPAs, G fees, adverse impact fees. And you know, a lot of people see this as a major plus for the industry. No one liked the adverse impact fee, by the way, the 25 bips, I think it is. But a lot of analysts see this as a big plus for the industry. It should keep borrowing costs low to some degree. Now the big fear is, of course, how damaging is QM going to be? Is it just industry wringing their hands over the implementation day, which is just 2 weeks away? You know, there's some people saying it's going to make production go down by 30%. I don't believe that. You know, listen, there's a lot of damage out there in the industry. There's a lot of companies trying to right-size quickly. I know you and I have talked about, you know, the layoff picture and, you know, you basically being a champion of getting rid of underperforming loan officers and that kind of thing.
Yep.
You know, the industry is, you know, they're looking to March already for the spring home buying season because everyone expects purchases to be up. Refis, of course, are tapering. But at the same time, with Watt coming in, people are expecting maybe one more little nibble on the HARP program, and then maybe next year won't be so awful after all. I mean, the good news is that, again, home buying is going to be strong, purchase money business should be strong, and maybe HARP will be a little better than some people thought. But at the same time, you know, this company right-sized, and we have a thing on our website about what's going on with the sale of RFC, Residential Finance Corp. Supposedly some of their assets are being looked at by another company. I think it's PMAC reported today. Yeah, out in California. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, right-sizing and preparation going on for the first quarter. The good news is that servicing rights are worth a lot of money these days, and a lot of companies that retain servicing, you know, have that asset to live off of the first quarter or two. Before they're figuring out their profitability strategy for next year. So there's a lot of neat stuff going on. You know, even though it's the day before Christmas Eve, we also had a story about FHA. No one really picked up on this, I don't think. But FHA is extending they're extending the appeal process on lower mortgage limits for the FHA loans to the end of January. So it looks like, you know, maybe FHA is going to backpedal a little bit on how they calculated some of these median home prices. There's, I think we reported that, I think it's 600 or so counties are looking at, 650 counties are looking at a decline. Some are quite dramatic. Someone told me Salt Lake City is going down from 729,000 to just over 250,000. I'm not sure on all that. Yeah, but there's some really big drops, and that's got some people up in arms. The private MIs are going to gain in that business, supposedly, as long as they're Fannie Freddie eligible loans, the MIs will pick up that business.
Exactly right.
So there's a lot going on. We also reported on banks cautiously raised their MSR values in the third quarter, not by a whole lot. I think they're getting ready, just being really careful about how much they mark up the MSR asset. So there's a lot going on out there. And some people are now already talking about, you know, what is Ed DeMarco going to do? That's in our short take section of IMFnews.com today.
Who will hire him?
You know, I think a lot of people would hire him. The question is, you know, how much does he want to travel? You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there speculating in GSE stock and GSE debt and whatever would want to pick his brain on his expertise. He is a career civil servant. I'm not sure how all that works. I don't know if they just give him a desk with no phone and computer at, FIFA, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe my sources are hearing it wrong and everything will be fine and, you know, I don't know.
Well,
it's a curious situation to look at.
What was really curious was his swan song with putting in the LLPAs. I think that was, I mean, I've been a big fan of Ed DeMarco and the leadership style that he brought there, staying as apolitical as he can in a highly politically charged environment there in D.C. I thought he did a great job. I was all for him until I saw what he did on Friday, and I was going, what on earth were you thinking with that move? So anyway, I like your, I saw your one article, Watt will roll back. So I started thinking, Watt will rock and roll back. Sorry, playing words there. So maybe we should run that title in New Year's to be more appropriate. But thank you so much, Paul, for a lot of great information. Folks, if you are not a part of the download regular distribution, on the regular distribution list, go to www.imfnews.com. check them out. Great source. And if you're looking to advertise, man, these Paul, they run an ad occasionally of about the radio program, and every time they do, I tell you, I get a lot of phone calls. How did you do that? That's a great place. So yeah, advertising on this website is a great place. Got a lot of new readership, so I recommend you do that as well.
We do. We're stealing some of our ads from my former employer at Source Media, so that's always good news.
A little friendly competition there. So anyway.
Yeah, well, they need some competition, sure.
Yeah, they do. But you're doing a great job here, Paul, and I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Thanks so much for being a regular part of broadcast.
Thank you.
We'll miss you next week because you're enjoying taking some time. Yeah, you enjoy it. So happy holidays and a happy new year to you, my friend. Appreciate you.
Same to you. Thanks again.
You betcha, friend. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
All right, lots of good information on the website. Go, folks. Be sure to check it out. Alice Alvey, you've been quiet on all this. And the FHA, the article on FHA extends the appeals process, that's interesting. And I know you've got a lot of great information for us. So let's get into the Alice Alvey report.
Hi. Hey, you know what? Am I supposed to ask for my bonus from MBS, too? Congratulations,
I know.
Dave.
Added to these lists and they honored. I'm just so grateful. Now it could get expensive. So, yeah, come on. Fly on down to Walmart, Texas. I'll buy you your Christmas drink, and it'll be a great bonus for all of us. All right.
I did say after being at the national conference, you know, we had that one time you and I were catching up in the main lobby there at the NBA national conference, and I decided afterwards I could just stand there with you at the conference and meet anybody I ever wanted to meet and talk to, because it was just, hey, Dave, hi, Dave. It was great. So anyway,
yeah, right.
I have seen that in the works. So, yes, everybody, I want to give you a quick update. There are things happening here, even though you would think that it might be a little quiet on our front. You know, Paul brought up a lot of great points about what's going on in the news. One thing I want to add to that it seems to be people are starting to lose track of everything that's going to happen in January. And it starts to feel like when something happens, they go, is that happening in January? You know, like when the whole GP and the low-level price adjustment memo came out, everybody was going, oh, my gosh, is that happening next month, right? So thank goodness that got pushed. The other thing we keep hearing is Fannie and Freddie considering a change in their loan limits, right? So that is just a proposal. It is FHFA seeking public comment. The comment window is open until March 1st. So you can wait till after the holidays. I'll remind you when we come back in January. But they are looking for comments about a proposed gradual decrease of Fannie Freddie loan limits. And so they're talking about moving the 417 down to 400. Again, nothing firm, but this is just to get some comments in. It is, again, a critical point where people need to comment and give information about how much that could negatively impact the markets. And moving the 625.5 down to 600,000. They would propose that these wouldn't become effective until October, but, you know, we need to get our voices heard to, again, stop that change as well. The other thing is we do have, you know, for those of you, anybody lending manufactured housing, you know, they really got looped into the Dodd-Frank Act as well. And so they do have a bill that was presented December 16th. They keep trying this. It's Senate Bill 1828, trying to preserve access to manufactured housing and trying to get that the manufacturers are not considered in the tightness of some of the LO compensation rules. And they're also trying to be able to get that they have higher thresholds in the loan amounts. They already have a high cost threshold of 8.5% if the dwelling's personal property and it's less than $50,000. They want to get a bigger exemption for the Section 32, not Section 35, of 10% and $75,000. So there's a bill out there for manufactured homes to from the consumer lending side to try and get a bigger window. But other than that, I think we're out of the legislative eye at the moment. One other quick update I want to just let people know. We are watching the CFPB's order against Ally to pay $80 million in damages and another $18 million in penalties. Now, this was related to auto financing, but I do want to watch as the CFPB is taking those fair lending or disparate treatment cases and trying to see if there's anything that would apply. You know, is this leading us to how they're thinking that might relate to mortgages? So in the auto side, it was 235,000 minority borrowers were paid a higher rate. And the way that process would work is Ally would offer, you know, to its 12,000-plus auto dealers a buy rate. And Ally would determine that buy rate, and then the dealer would have the ability to mark that up a little bit, as much as 250 basis points on a five-year loan and 200 basis points if the contract was greater than 5 years. So they would get a little bit of a bump. And so essentially, you know, there was a little bit of push in pricing, and in the analysis it came out that minorities were hit with that differently. You know, does it apply to wholesale in any way? Does it mean that in a wholesale world of lending, the same or similar type thing could happen where if I'm handling brokers, how much am I liable for their compliance? How much am I liable for their pricing or any disparate impact that they may have? We've seen some cases in the past, and obviously some players exit the industry because they felt their liability was pretty large. This is just another example of, do you have ownership of making sure pricing is fair, even though you're not the one who's face-to-face with the customer? So just a heads up to folks that, you know, we are watching this. You know, it seems to have a different layer in it in terms of its process, but definitely a heads up. So that's my report as of now, Dave, and I will pass it on back to you so we have plenty of time to talk about the other great things you have on the agenda for our Hot Topic.
I'm looking forward to that Hot Topic, but I also love your updates each and every week, Alice. It's so critical that people stay tuned with all that's going on. And when you say they're just confused and it's chaotic, it's so true. People are just overwhelmed with all the changes that are coming out, and they all assume that everything is now hitting. Now, we do have a lot hitting, and there's certainly enough reason to be having a feeling of being overwhelmed, but if you have Alice Alvey and listening to her on a regular basis on this radio broadcast, this podcast, or if you're just in a relationship with her, you are going to do so well. You're going to avoid a lot of it, and you can have that reassurance. There's no reason to freak out. It is manageable. Companies are managing it. But they've got Alice in there helping them. Alice, thank you so much for bringing it. Merry Christmas. Appreciate you being a part of this. Folks, we'll be right back. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals providing classroom and web-based delivery and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lincoln on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's David Lincoln.
Good to have you with us. Appreciate you being a part of the broadcast each and every week. I am looking to see if Tony Garitano, bless his darling heart, he sent me some questions for the radio today. He says, do you need me? Tony, if you're out there, we always want you on the broadcast. I don't see you dialed in right at the moment, and so I may have missed that opportunity to get you on. I apologize. If you're there, dial back in and press 1 to speak to me, and I'll get you back on. We'll go to that, go to your questions. Good stuff there. Otherwise, wish you a Merry Christmas, Tony, and thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast. Let's go over to the Prophet Doctor, who has always got words of wisdom to share with us. So much.
Hey, Dave.
To talk
Good
about.
Afternoon.
Good to have you here there, Prophet Doctor. You and your lab coat with a stethoscope, you know, with a dollar sign. Most stethoscopes have the route. You have a dollar sign because you're always looking for dollar leakage that's going on across the industry, across companies. And you sniff it out. I mean, you're just a bloodhound of finding where there's leakage in so many areas. So what you got for us today?
Well, Dave, I wanted to talk a little bit about, and I want to go quick because I want to get to the special guest. I want to listen to Dave Lincoln talk about corporate culture. We did a webinar this past week for the Texas Mortgage Bankers Association on third-party management, which is basically the implementation of the CFPB Bulletin 2012-03. And the thing that I thought was interesting about the presentation is at the end of the presentation, and I want to talk about just a couple of quick points about that, but at the end of the presentation, we had mentioned to folks several times throughout the presentation, oh, by the way, this was effective a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago. It's effective now. You have to do this right now. It's not coming up. This is already supposed to be done. Well, after the presentation, the moderator kept getting
emails from people going, "Oh, it's effective now. We got to do this now. Oh my gosh, send me the slide deck. I got to understand how to do this." So it kind of goes a little bit back to Alice's point about people are confused about when things are effective. They're thinking some things that aren't effective yet already are, and some things that are effective now aren't, like the third-party management. Third-party management requirements of the CFPB are in effect. They went in effect almost 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And part of that is including the point I wanted to make that ties it into your presentation, Dave, is part of the guidelines that we have from the CFPB in managing third parties is having a very structured approach, having strong documentation for your process, implementing a project management mentality in the way that you manage adding a vendor, changing a vendor. For that matter, it should be adding anything, adding a new product, adding a new system, because it's really all about the ability to implement change in a structured and methodical process. You don't just walk in and turn the light switch and hope it's on, because it's much more complicated than that. So being able to implement change through project management structure in your organization is really essential. You have to have it for third-party management. And frankly, you need to have a change implementation strategy for your company so that you can take the nuggets of brilliance that you're about to hear Mr. Licken talk about and implement those into your business, because it's not just a hope and a dream. It takes a structured approach to implement things in a methodical process that gets results. So there you go, Dave. That's my point for today.
Well, that's a lot of brilliance from the prophet. You know, you always expect brilliance out of the prophet, doctor, but you just it oozes out of you. Get around there. Mike, you just went up just, you know, being around you when I listened to all the stuff that you have. But I think that really the point, in all sincerity, is the point that you made about people just being confused, which is resonating, which is repeating what Alice said as to what's going on. This is one that's been out there for over a year. I mean, is it over a year now or just at a year?
No, over a year, almost coming up on 2 years.
Wow. I mean, see, it's that now if they were listening to the radio program, you go, you should have been listening to the radio program. We should have this little thing. Are you listening to the radio program? You wouldn't have missed that. So we covered that.
Exactly.
We covered that well in advance. So great stuff. Folks, if you want to get a copy of that webinar, get a hold of Andy. That was probably one of the best webinars, and it had a lot of, like my daughter says, 411, a lot of information in it. And you don't want to miss this kind of stuff. So appreciate you bringing us an update on the webinar and how people can get a hold of you. Andy, which would people prefer, getting a hold of you by email to have you do this webinar in their trade association?
Exactly. We would be happy to do this presentation for other state mortgage banker associations. So send me an email. The easiest way to send me an email is andy@mbs-team.com. Be happy to talk to anyone for any other organizations.
Go out and start, you, because we know some people are going to write you as the Prophet Doctor, so go out and get another email address, prophetdoctor@mbs-team.com. So we got to get both. All right, both. Andy, thank you so much. Appreciate the
Thanks, Dave.
And sharing some of your brain cells with us today.
My pleasure.
All right. Folks, we're going to be right back, and I'm going to be the guest, or the top focus of the topic, talking about corporate culture. Why is it that some companies succeed when others are failing? And why do some loan officers succeed in the same market where others don't? Now, you think the answer is obvious? Well, you're going to want to stay tuned as I get into that, along with my my dear friends here on the radio. We're going to have Alice, Andy, and Joe all commenting on this. We'll be right back after this brief ad break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success,
Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business,
please contact our Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Welcome back into the broadcast, everybody. Good to have you here. We see that so many have dialed in again by the phone. Remember, a reminder to all of you, you can download the AppleTunes at the iStore or at the iTunes store. The podcast, you can go to the website, www.lickitonlending, and you can connect via the computer. You can listen so many different ways, but it'll send you a reminder about the broadcast. Everyone who does listen to this has a tendency to go, that's really good. So many wise, smart people on there giving so much great information, and I encourage you to share it, tell others about it, but let's get into what we were talking about. You didn't hear me get into all of that. We're doing a segment. Starting last week, and a series of broadcasts on why some companies and LOs succeed and why some companies and LOs fail. And sometimes it doesn't always make sense. We started off the broadcast last week talking about how important culture is to a community. And that's not to say that there is a right or wrong culture. We touched on the fact that you need to know who you are and what you want, whether it be an individual as a loan originator or as an employee of a company or as a company owner and responsible for the corporate culture. I made the statement in several times that it's been quoted as, is you can't plot a course to where you want to go until you know where you're at. You need to locate yourself. And you need to – Andy was commenting right now some great comments after my when we got into this topic last week, to play to your strength and backfill your weaknesses. I think one of the conversations I had with Jeff Blake, who played for the Cincinnati Bengals, quarterback, 17 years in the NFL, he said, Dave, I was good at a lot of various sports, but I was really, really good at this. But I always surrounded myself. So his advice was the key to success has been he really focused on what he's really, really, really best at. And I think we have a tendency to not do that. So Andy does that, talks about that. We ran out of time to get any much discussion from Andy, Joe, and Alice, so let's go right back. Andy, you kicked this thing off, so let's get your feedback on this. By the way, somebody's microphone is really muffled up here, so we're hearing a lot of static. So anyway, Andy, let's lead it on. If you'd lead off with some feedback on what we talked about last week, then I want to go to Alice and Joe.
Okay, Dave, thanks. I will be happy to. Well, you know, Boy, it's just so hard to take all of the amazing information and distill it down into just sound bites because everybody just wants to – it's like opening a Christmas present. They just want to grab it and rip it. And you have to be – it's like you got to save the paper on some of this stuff. You got to go slow and absorb every morsel as you go along. But we started talking about culture – and the culture of a company and why it's so important. And I know, Dave, you've got so many ideas about this. I mean, I don't want to steal your thunder, but it's all I can just let me just capsulize it as saying that paths to success in maintaining branch profitability lies in the creation of a dynamic corporate culture that leads to origination teams wanting to join you and wanting to stay with you. And that all comes back to why do some companies fail and some companies succeed? And it starts with leadership. And there's a bunch of elements within what that means to leadership. Because people think, well, I'm a leader. I can go up there and I can speak dynamically or all these other things. But there's so much more to it. And that's what Dave's going to talk about today.
Yeah, we're going to get into that. Alice, some of your thoughts on what we've kicked off last week. I didn't get a chance because we ran out of time, running at the mouth here a little bit more than I wanted to. But your thoughts on what we're talking about here, culture, how important is it? What do you see?
Well, I think, you know, we see it from a couple different angles. Obviously, we lived it personally, you know, in MortgageU merging with Indicom. And so I think, you know, last year we were talking about testing to how important it is to have the cultures aligned because that was the first thing we focused on and we knew that was doing well. I think, too, in this conversation, Dave, I'd like to get your thoughts on the originators. You know, a lot of them just individually, maybe it's not a true purchase, but it's a group of originators who don't like where they're at due to lack of direction and what Andy said. You know, maybe they're not, you know, feeling that connection and things don't align, and they think it's the grass is greener on the other side somewhere, and they haven't really done their homework yet. So, you know, I'd like to hear your thoughts on some of that as well, as we talk about the things you have to align and you know, just having that they know who their leader is and know and respect that new leadership, not just move because they're unhappy where they're at. They have to know they're going to be happy where they're looking at moving to.
I think a lot of people, what I see in the trend, especially as a consultant in the industry, and it's such a joy to be a consultant because you get to see all these perspectives. You get to look into, as you do, Alice, in your business, you look inside of so many companies. And I think one of the mistakes, to your point there, is a lot of people back away from a company rather than being purposed at walking towards something. And I think when you are frustrated, you get angry, you get all the emotions that go into why I don't want to be here, you find yourself backing out of one situation and backing into another. And that's a common mistake. And if you do that, it's like a lot of relationships. You back out of one only to find yourself in a worse one. You have to be purposed. I mean, it's not the, there's nothing wrong with doing an analysis and capsulizing what is wrong with what I don't like or where I'm at. But it's the mistake is out of that without being purposed about where you're going to go. And the things we're going to get into in this broadcast is what are the things I need to be purposed about? What do I need? What alignment do I need to have? So we're going to get into that as we get into the really the seven C's of leadership. So I'm going to turn it over to Joe and ask his thoughts on his reflections on what we've talked about the culture and some of the things we've gone into so far.
Well, it's obviously a necessary element in putting a company together, but it's also an element in putting a team together, which is, you know, you can consider it at either the very top level or at the loan officer level. Whether you have a team of assistants at the LO level, you certainly are working with a team of people around you, and so the culture that you bring to that team is just as important as the culture the CEO of the company brings to the overall company.
So,
and so let's go into the seven C's. You published an article a couple years ago in National Mortgage Professional magazine that was very good. And we're going to be talking a lot about C's today, right? We got culture.
Yes, we are.
Let's talk about the seven C's of leadership. And the very first one of those is in your assessment of leadership is character alignment.
Right.
And so I want you to get into how what do you mean by character alignment, and then how does that factor into this overall building of a culture that works to make you better than the next guy?
Character alignment is probably one of the most important things we use on determining, or when we look at companies, why some people succeed and some people fail. It's not, again, that one character is right or wrong. There is character, there's bad character, and there's good character. So in that sense, you want to be aligned with a company that has good character. You, if you're a business owner, you want to hire people that have good character. And it's really analyzing, evaluating that. What is good character? What does it look like? And we can get into a long discussion on that, and that could be broadcast upon broadcast about just the topic of what is character and how do we look like. But I think everyone knows what they would like to at least believe their own character is. But character acts as an anchor or a cornerstone upon which everything is based. Now, that's true of a company. It's true of an individual. I espouse to certain values. I think part and parcel with this is value alignment. You could say character alignment, value alignment. And I think most of us have a sense of what our value is about. I'm for this. I'm against this. I like this. I don't like that. It can be very basic. But the number of people when we're asking them, hey, I'm looking to bring on some branches, a lot of people are calling us about that. And for those that don't, go back and listen to Adam Seidel's broadcast we had a while back. He had some great points on that and what he does align with and what that doesn't align with. I thought it was a good broadcast. I went back and listened to it again. But it really comes to analyzing where you're at. Goes back to locate where you're at, and let it be a compass. Let it be a day-to-day guide in what you do and how that works. Character can come down to, should I do this loan, should I not do this loan? That is important. But it really gets a lot more into attitude. can get into so many elements, and it's the values that come and hold. So when someone's confused on character, I go into what do you value to help bring clarity and some optics to that somewhat esoteric word character, where it can be, it shouldn't be. We should know character. We all should know character and know it well. But the value alignment can also add some clarity and granularity and optics to this. So value alignment, what do you value? Well, I value making a decent living. Well, where are you going? Do they honor that? Or are you as good as your last sale? Now, that's a statement that's true of sales. Anyone's involved in loan originator, you're as good as your last deal, yes. But how do they look at that? And I think there's a great story. We have a partner call that, you know, Andy and Chuck and I, the three of us that are equal partners in this firm, have every morning. We had a conversation about one particular company, and I'm going to name that company. I mean, we're not going to name any of the companies that are bad, but we're going to name this particular company because it's a stellar example. We work for a lot of clients, but they're an ongoing client. We're doing some work for them in one particular area, but it had to do with, we asked the question, why is it so many people are wanting to come here? And it really came up value alignment and character alignment. It is these guys go out of their way to publish with YouTube videos, with Vimeo videos, I hope I'm saying that right, and as well as statements, and they live it. It's a culture. It's a value. They put that out first. And I'm talking about Movement Mortgage in this particular case, and that's not to single them out. There's many companies that have great character and great alignment. It's just one that we're familiar with. And they do a great job of publishing it and putting it out there very clear for everyone to see. And it's resonating, folks. It's resonating in a way that I've never seen before. They have a waiting list. They are turning people away. We have other companies calling us, hey, Dave, who can I go get to come? There's no one at their door. And maybe it's because you don't publish what your character is, what your values are. And you say, well, yeah, I have a value vision statement. Oh, really? Have you studied? Have you read it? I ask people, what is it? Now, I've read it before I ask the question, so I'm finding out what they can even quote it. So go back and check that. Go back in and analyze that. What are our value statements? What are our mission? What's our character? What are we saying? If you do not have a line of people out your door wanting to come to work for you, you're missing it. Just, I can sum it up with that. So let's turn it into a little bit of discussion. Andy, you were in on that discussion, so I'll go to you first on some discussion points on character alignment. Thoughts?
Wow. I'm speechless, Dave. This is great. I hope people are listening and understand the gems that you've just thrown out for them for free, nevertheless, because you paid a lot of money for running through some of those details. You're doing it, and you're doing it for free for the listening audience, because people are hurting for volume, and we want for people to turn it around and understand how to grow the business. It's great stuff.
The purpose of this program is the values that we have is we give back. I mean, Alice, Joe, I mean, pumps out each day, each Monday we show up here and we give back. Tis the season to be giving, tis the season to be jolly, and it's a giving season, but we try to do that, and I think that's one of the values we align with. And it's interesting, giving culture is one of the values that a lot of various companies go into. Alice, your thoughts.
So, Dave, as you look at this alignment, this one company that you gave an example of was actually kind of reaching out. It sounded like from in their marketing to be able to portray their character. Is that something that you recommend companies need to do, that, you know, they can't be just trying to get a message one-on-one in meetings to try and recruit loan officers, that it's that public and social media character presentation? Do you think that's something every company should look at?
Well, absolutely. I think, number one, you got to use what's out there. Social media is a very effective tool, Allison. A lot of people are doing that. Some people say, well, I don't get social media. Well, it doesn't matter if you get it or not. Try to get involved in it. It's where the market's going, especially when you look at the new generation coming in. The first thing they check is their Facebook page. Facebook, see what's going on their wall, what's going on, who's writing what about anything out there. So it's a great place to do that. But I think video is probably one of the most effective ways, using YouTube videos. And in this particular case, Movement Mortgage uses this very, very effectively, getting their word out. And I'll tell you this. Also, we keep talking about one company, but this is a great way for loan originators to get their values and their statement of character, what they believe in. Now, if you're just out there touting, I'm bragging about this because I've got this great character. You know what? We all get a little leery when you start singing your own praises. It's not character stating character in the way that we're good and you should come to work for us because we've got this great character.
Right.
I ought to tell you, Alice, it puts a lot of people on their heels going, if you have such great character, why do you need to talk about it? It should. I like what Sir Francis Assisi said when they talked about the Christian faith. You know, it says, preach at all times, speak only when necessary. I think character is something that should show up. Yes, and it can show up in a video. It's how you do it, so it doesn't look like you're doing that. But it should show up in the way you're going about it. Movement Mortgage has a waiting list of people trying to come to work for top originators, not because the videos, but because of the way they demonstrate it. It's word of mouth. And what helps get the word out is when they have a well-done video. So videos are a very effective way, but nothing more effective than word of mouth.
It sounds like it leads right into kind of one of the other things you talk about, which is conviction. So that someone might have good character, but do they necessarily, are they convicted? Do they have conviction in the way that they present that character?
Well, I think you should be convicted if you don't have good character about what's happening, and you should have conviction about what's really strong. I think we're looking for, as the times get more and more unraveled, it seems like it's unraveling, with all the regulations, so many things, so many people confused about when things are rolling out, as you talked about in your segment earlier. If ever there was a time you'd be a strong leader that drawing people to you. Why these companies are succeeding is because there's strong leadership. They believe deeply in their mission, and this is their belief is so strong. It comes genuine, Alice. It's not some contrived message. That is why at least some people follow people with good characters, because you want someone who believes strongly, whatever it is. Now, you know, some people say it's all about making money. Well, certainly we're for-profit companies. We're every year a loan originator, you're in this business to make a living. So there's nothing wrong with talking about we're here to help you make a great living. But then it's how do you do that? How are we going to overcome all these issues? Convictions that are anchored, compromised tech and character is really going to be a problem. A mission that has a higher and it'll have a higher probability of failure is what I'm trying to say. So people are going to pick up. Are you compromised? So, for example, my daughter is really good. I have also one of our employees, Lindsay Bridges, who just calls me out on this every time. If there's even a crack, the compass is off 2 degrees. You know, if you're flying an airplane, Andy and I use these airplane analogies. He's a pilot. He's a trained pilot. I've flown in lots of airplanes. And if your compass is off 1 or 2 degrees and you fly that 1 or 2 degrees off for a long enough period, you're hundreds of miles off of your objective, your target. So I think conviction is one of those things that you have to believe it, but also then it comes back to conviction of what? Having good character alignment. So I could go on and on about that, looking at the clock and how much little time. We're going to have to continue this in the next week. But Andy, go ahead. Let's cover one more topic.
Well, okay, Dave. Well, you've talked about character alignment. You've talked about conviction. The next one is being confident. But there's a flip side to confidence. So how does confidence fit into all of this?
Well, sometimes you can talk about this in the context of what it is not. Confidence is not arrogance, and I think most of us can figure that out, but there are subtle forms of arrogance where you really need to differentiate between someone who's highly confident and someone who is on the arrogant side, and I think that is conviction is, again, that this each one of these are value alignments, and it really gets into this, but someone who's really confident is really a successful leader, because in these difficult times that lie ahead, successful leaders portray a heartfelt confidence that is birthed in deep conviction, talking about in sound principles or character. Arrogance is a counterfeit, and it's usually spotted from a mile away, but because of the more subtle forms of arrogance can take, it's important that we understand it. Now, those who really understand what your values, your vision, and your character are, it's more easily to see it. But that's why I keep coming back to go back and analyze. What is that? I'll tell you this. One of the key components of someone who is confident is there's an air of humility about them. They genuinely recognize that they have conviction, they have confidence, but everything is couched in an element of humility. Folks, we got to keep looking at the calendar. We just get into these things. There's just so much to talk about, and we're going to continue the discussion next week. We're going to get into charisma. We're going to talk about communicators. We're going to talk about how people stay current update, and then also the camaraderie. Some other things that we talk about in all this, I want to say thank you to all of you as you have a great Merry Christmas. Thank you to Alice, Joe, and Andy, the Prophet Doctor, for being a part of this broadcast each and every week. Tell others about it. Appreciate you being here with us. And tune in next week as we go into this even further, hopefully get this topic wrapped up. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a blessed Merry Christmas to all of you. Thank you.
This has been Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lincoln of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Albee, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.